Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Land Grant Holy Land's I-70s football show, where we discuss the entire Big Ten from Rutgers to Ohio State. You can catch us every Monday breaking down the biggest games, storylines, and previewing the next week's slate. If you love the Big Ten, pack a bag, jump in the car, and enjoy the ride. As always, I'm your host, Jordan Williams, and I'm here with my co-host, Dante. Dante, how you doing today?
I am tired, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm exhausted, but I'm ready to get this episode underway because I am prepared for it.
No, I feel that.
But I had a long day. Can't even lie to you.
Listen, I understand. But it's college football. Football's back.
Yeah.
NFL's next weekend, right?
Starts on the on Thursday the 9th. Yep, first game.
Yeah. So, I mean,
you're going to see Dak for the first time against Tampa Bay.
Man. All I know, it feels like Christmas. Actually, it's better than Christmas because I don't care about Christmas that much. This is my Christmas college football, so I'm doing well. There's so much to talk about, and we like to talk, and we got to keep this under like 3 hours because, let's be honest, of any week, we could talk about this week all day. We're going to preview next week, and next week is a week that nobody wants to talk about. Even as much as I love college football, I was looking at
slow week.
As much as I love college football, I was looking at next week's games. Like, ooh, that's what they're giving us. They could have split up some of this week's games into next week, to, you know, give us a little something, something. But okay, they couldn't do that for us. Whatever.
They dropped so much heat on the opening week that they're like, all right, let's relax, calm down.
We're gonna give you all the blowouts. We're gonna give you all the money games in 1 week. You know, and right. You're gonna like it. That's essentially what they said. It's like, we're gonna give you all the money games in 1 week, and you're gonna like it. What are you gonna do?
You're gonna like it.
But honestly,
football. Shut up.
And they said that directly to me because I'm going to watch the game. Like, no matter what you hear me say on this podcast, I will be in front of my TV on Saturday watching all of these games. Like, man, Wisconsin's playing Ball State. Let me tune in.
I don't even know. I hope. So, you know, what's crazy is that I don't know if I'm going to be able to get any viewing in next week. I'm still going to Miami. So,
oh yeah,
it's gonna be a rough one next week for me.
No, don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. I'll get somebody to. I actually meant to talk to you about that before we started recording. We'll find somebody that can fill in. You'll be in Miami. You are not worried about Wisconsin versus Ball State. Especially with who you're going with, because I was just with him. You're not gonna be able to focus on college football. Let's be honest.
Yeah, not at all. Like, no. Oh, it's Penn State playing Ball State. Either way, still no one cares.
It doesn't matter. It really don't matter.
Miami of Ohio versus Minnesota. That might be interesting.
No, that's gonna be a blowout. Unless Mo Ibrahim is not. No, even with him out, it's gonna be bad. Miami's decent. They're decent for a MAC team.
Of Ohio, but... Miami of a who? Of Ohio? No, they're not.
They are. Yeah, they are. Recently, They were in the MAC championship last year.
I just watched a little bit of their last game, and I'm pretty sure it was not good.
Okay. You might be right. I'm just saying last year they were in the MAC championship against Ball State.
All right. Fair enough.
So they're good for a MAC team, just not whoever they played last week.
Fair enough. That's probably true. All right.
So let's actually get into these games, which is as we like to do. Okay, so let's actually get into these games. I guess we should we start with the first game, so Ohio State Minnesota, or should we start with the better games, which would be like Penn State Wisconsin?
See, because I didn't get a chance to see Michigan State versus Northwestern.
I can talk about. I can carry that game. That game was a good game.
Was it a good game? See, yeah. I'm upset that I missed it.
Yeah. Okay, let's start with that one.
Yeah.
Just to get that one out the way, because there's really not a whole lot to say about that game, outside the fact that it was very surprising, and just kind of what we think, whether you've seen it or not, just kind of what you think that means for Northwestern. So if you didn't watch the game and you haven't been attached to your phone or the ESPN app like me, Michigan State beat Northwestern 38-17, which is an ass whooping. Right. It's the only way to say it. It was not a close game. It may have been even less close than the score indicated. The crazy thing is, like, we knew that Northwestern's offense was going to be iffy, right? They never have the best offense. And then they lost their quarterback, who's a grad transfer. They lost Rashawn Slater, their offensive lineman, who's in the NFL. So it was like, okay, so their offense isn't going to be amazing. And after watching this week, they would have fit right in with the Big Ten, because most of the Big Ten's offense isn't amazing. So, whatever, you can kind of, you know, get away with your offense not being great sometimes in the Big Ten. But Northwestern's calling card is their defense, and everyone expected their defense to be solid. And some people thought they would take a slight step back, fine, because they did lose, like, Greg Newsome and some other players. But you can't find anyone, and if you're one of these people, add us on Twitter, but you can't find many people, if anyone, especially someone who's not a Michigan State fan, who thought Northwestern would lose to Michigan State. Like, even if you thought Northwestern was only going to win three games this entire season, one of their wins would have been Michigan State. That's not what happened. Not even close. The main thing of the game was they couldn't stop the run to save their lives, which is, as everyone knows, that's a bad problem to have in the Big Ten. Because if the Big Ten's going to do anything, they're going to run. I'm genuinely starting to question if, like, especially after this week, I'm genuinely starting to question if the Big Ten even cares about having quarterbacks. Or even college football, because that's a conversation we don't need to get into. But a lot of these quarterbacks they didn't look too good in week one. So, but not being able to stop the run.
You talking all over?
Most of the quarterbacks didn't look that good. Bryce Young looked good. CJ Stroud looked good in the second half. Who else played well? But especially the big name quarterbacks, most of the big name quarterbacks did not play well at all.
I think Iowa's quarterback played pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he played solid. He
had a pretty good game.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising. We're definitely going to get into that. We're going to get into the Iowa situation, because he wasn't expected to play like that, because he's not, like, you know, when you go into it thinking about quarterbacks and stuff, he's not the quarterback that you think about. So that was interesting.
I don't doubt that at all. I don't I don't doubt that at all. But he had a pretty solid game. So I can't even. Against against a defense that we thought was going to be pretty good. But back to Michigan State and Northwestern. I did not expect Michigan State to put up that many points at all.
Like, you didn't even, like, you don't even think that they're capable of that. Like, here's the thing.
Almost 40? That's.
And we talked about it. And here's the thing. Like, this is one of the first games. Like, I won't full out say this is the game that's going to make me sound stupid. But this is one of them because we talked about it. And I was like, I'm not sure if Mike Loxley's that guy. You know, most Saban coaches don't do well. He was a DB coach for Alabama. Like, he brought in all these transfers. Transfers don't really work. Like, on the surface, it was like – and then and it wasn't even just him either. It was the fact, like, he got the job really late. After 1 year as a head coach in Colorado, because Mark D'Antonio, I think that's his name. I always get their coaches mixed up because the basketball and the football coach have the same last name. It's just pronounced slightly different and spelled slightly different. You never noticed that?
No, like, what are the odds?
It's like it was like Mark D'Antonio. And then something D'Antonio or something like that. Like, it's weird. It's weird. Yeah. So either way, the coach literally just stopped caring about the job for like 2-3 years and stopped recruiting well and all of that other kind of stuff. Yeah, it is Mark D'Antonio.
That's wild.
He just kind of, you know, stopped caring about the job. And then there were some slight sanctions and stuff that was supposed to be coming out. And he gets through recruiting season and then is just like, all right, I'm done. And like January or March, whenever it was, he just quits. And it's like, oh, I am tripping. Their basketball coach is Tom Izzo. Who's the other coach that I get them mixed up with?
Are you talking about Mike D'Antoni?
Maybe.
Probably. It's a totally different thing.
Listen, it's not basketball season, okay? I don't need to be accurate.
All right.
No, but so he leaves in the middle of like February after signing day, after all the coaches have been hired, the carousel's over. No one's expecting to have a new coach. They have to hire a coach. So Mike Loxley, he starts in, you know, February or March, and then the pandemic hits. So his first year is just trash. He doesn't get to recruit nobody. He comes in the middle of spring camp. It's hard to even bring in a staff because they already have a job. Like, that's just not the time you hire coaches. Then the pandemic hits, so you don't get to work with your players at all. Then they bring in all of these transfers because the roster was ass, because the coach essentially just gave up on it. And so you think common sense would dictate, right, that Michigan State's not going to be good this year. Mm-hmm. That would, like, anyone thinking that is fair to say. But we watched them last year. If you're, you know, like me and just watch games to watch them, you did see a couple of their games last year. And you think, okay, or at least I did. Maybe, you know, maybe I shouldn't speak for everyone, but you think, like, they look decent. They're slightly ahead of schedule. They're at least trying hard. Like, they don't have the talent to win, but they're trying hard. But with Northwestern, you expect Northwestern to be Northwestern. They're literally the reigning Big Ten West champs. You don't expect them to fall so low that they're losing to Michigan State. But not only losing, they got blew out. Like, this game was not close. It was not close at all. And it's really back.
They had control of it the whole time.
Yeah, it was 21-7 at half. Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, Northwestern scored 14 points in the fourth quarter. Essentially, Michigan State took their foot off the gas. And Northwestern, like, made the score look reasonable. This was not a good game. This was not a close game. At no point during the game was it a close game.
Damn. Wow. So, that's good for Michigan State. Kind of bad. It's really bad for Northwestern, really.
I did not
expect them to get routed like that. And maybe it's like, you know, so it's like, it could be just early in the season and they might be, there's plenty of time for them to like turn it around and be a better team. obviously, and it could just be that. Like, there's still a chance that Michigan State could be terrible. It could have just been one of those days.
Exactly. Like, you never know. But that's why I wanted to talk about this game. One, you know, just to give us a quick shout out to Michigan State for taking care of business. I write an article that comes out on Sunday before this comes out. And some of the things I write in there, I'm going to touch on in here because it's about the Big Ten. And one thing that I touched on is Kenneth Walker, who literally broke out 23 carries, 264 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry. Read that again. Read that off to me again.
23 carries, 264 yards.
Wow, 4 touchdowns. That's almost 10 yards. That's over 10 yards a carry.
It's 11 and a half.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He's getting
the first down every time he touched the ball.
Yeah. So I'm gonna see if you can guess this. You should, but you know, because it's someone that you're familiar with. This was the best game by a running back at Michigan State since who?
Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did see the highlights. I remember the highlights now. I remember.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, it's been a long 2 days for me because yesterday watching all those games was like, it was taxing. It took a lot out of me. I can't even lie.
I'm not going to lie. As much as I like college football, it was taxing. And then I was trying to like write the article and like keep notes and like try to figure out like what actually I wanted to talk about. Because it's like, man, it's like there's so much to talk about. But like, you really got to be like, you know, people are going to be reading this or listening to us. Like, I don't want to sound stupid. Like, I don't want to be like, oh, this was the greatest performance. And they're like, it was all right. But 23 carries for 264 yards is an amazing performance. And
yeah, I saw the highlights from that. And he had his little stutter step like he was Le'Veon. So.
And I'm just saying, like, no matter how his career is going or ended, running back is weird in the NFL. And some of the stuff with Pittsburgh is weird, whatever. But when he was in his prime, he had what? Would you say two to three years? Or would you say like 4-ish years where he was arguably the best running back in the league? And there was at least 1 year where he was the best running back in the league.
Yeah, I think it was 4. I think it was like his second or I have to look up how long he's been in the NFL, but it depends because I think it was after his second or third year in the league where he was being considered one of the best or the best running back in the league.
So, I mean, even if it's just one game, being mentioned with Le'Veon Bell, so that's pretty good.
And he was good. And Le'Veon Bell was good at Michigan State. So,
like, yeah,
you doing that already?
Yeah, and he's a transfer. I'm too lazy to figure out where he transferred from. But, I mean, we talked about it. We talked about the transfers and stuff like that. Like, maybe Mel Tucker has something. So we don't have to stick on this game because, you know, it's just one game. It's not the major teams, and Michigan State could come out tomorrow and be terrible.
Right.
Yeah. With a game like that, there's a good chance they beat Michigan, though. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it depends. Because you brought up Michigan. Oh, yeah, we're not going to talk about them because they didn't play nobody. That's right. But, I mean, yeah, they probably could beat Michigan if they consistently play that well. Yeah, they could probably. I need to see Michigan go up against some talent. And if they do that again, if they hold a team to 14, 21 and put up 40 points, then it's like, I don't know. Because I have to see what Michigan does in week 2 as well. And then that's crazy. No, because you have to wait until week 3 because week 2, again, is kind of.
Well, they play Washington. And, well, okay, so Washington is essentially, you know, Michigan of the Pac-12. Like, Washington is a team that should recruit pretty well, supposedly has a good coach, should be talented. Like, they don't have as deep a history as Michigan does, but, like, they've won some Pac-12s and been close recently, and they never just get over the hump. Like, Washington and Michigan is, like, Ohio State, Oregon. Like, Ohio State, Oregon is the two best teams in their conference, both, you know, vying for playoffs. Washington, Michigan is two teams who should be the second or third best team in their conference, but underperform. Like, they're very close in like recruiting rankings and that kind of stuff. Like, that's a low key good game. But yeah. Like, I mean, it may not be because Washington just lost to an FCS school. So maybe it like, but when you looked at the schedule, it was supposed to be a good game.
Yeah, I mean, it's the last game of the night, so.
Yeah. But, I mean, so this is the question that I have for you before we move off of this game. What do you think this means for Northwestern? I know you didn't watch the game, so maybe, because I watched the game, so for me, it's like all doom and gloom for Northwestern. Like, I just think Northwestern is terrible.
Wow. Oh, really?
Because,
oh,
like, okay. When you watch it, but that's the thing, like, sometimes when you watch it, it's good not to watch it because you can kind of be a little bit more measured. I just think they looked really, really bad. So, what do you think? You think, like, you hear the stats, whatever. Do you think Northwestern has a chance to bounce back? Like, maybe it's, like, the first game jitters, whatever. Or do you think a loss like this, especially to a Michigan State team who's not supposed to be ready, do you think that this spells kind of, like, doom and gloom for their season?
So, I think it might be a recipe for disaster for Northwestern. And maybe, and it could be that, and it maybe we might not be giving Michigan State enough credit, and like maybe they might be better than what we thought. But Northwestern, and it could be a recipe for disaster, because they have to come out and they have to like put up a good amount of points against Indiana State next week.
Yeah,
they gotta at least put up 30. And you have to do it. You kind of have to do it early to get some confidence, because like what you just told me, it was 21-7, or at the half.
Yep, they didn't. Yeah,
yeah, that's getting beat up. Like that's you got punched in the mouth, and you lost that fight early. You lost that game early.
No, they did. It was 21-7 at half, and it was 28-7. At the end of the third quarter.
Oh, yeah,
so they didn't even score in the third quarter.
So it was just like, at the end of the game.
Like essentially Michigan. Yeah, essentially Michigan State put in their backups, and you got a couple of feel-good touchdowns. That is so foul to say that, like you let Michigan State put in their backups.
And they still put up 10, so they put up a touchdown and a field goal.
Yeah.
In the fourth.
And I don't think they actually played their backups, but essentially they just took their foot off the ground. Because I know Kenneth Walker was still in the game because he got his last touchdown. Like, they were so bad. You know, okay, so you've obviously played football. You watch football. You know all this. When you're winning and you don't want to keep scoring, what's the first thing that you do?
You put in your backups, right?
Yeah, you either put in your backups or you run the ball.
Yeah.
Like, you stop throwing.
Run the ball over and over again.
Northwestern was so bad that they scored on running plays when they were trying to just run out the clock. Like, Kenneth Walker had a touchdown in the fourth quarter because they were just trying to run out the clock, and he just broke free. And what is he supposed to do? Stop running? like, what is he supposed to do? You were supposed to tackle him. What is he supposed to do? Stop running? So he just kept running, and it was a touchdown. And it was like, damn, we tried to look out for you. Like, we tried to slow it down. We're not throwing the ball or nothing. And another touchdown.
that really truthfully might be, you know, it's looking scary for Northwestern then.
Yeah. It's looking scary. Literally the only thing. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
If they can't stop the run in the Big Ten, goodbye. Good night.
I'm saying, like, you know, the only thing that's helping them is they have an easy schedule, right? But one of the games that we predicted as a win is Rutgers. Rutgers just put up 61 points.
Like, I mean, it's against Temple.
Yeah, but it's 61 points.
Yeah, that's a lot of points. That's a lot of points.
It doesn't matter who it is.
That's over 50.
It's 60. Rutgers,
like Temple, I think, really gave up 60 points. That's nasty business.
I think they said that's the first time Rutgers has scored. It was either the first time Rutgers has scored 60 ever, or like the first time they had scored 60 since like 2007. Like, 60 don't just happen. Like, sometimes Ohio State, Alabama. 60. Yeah, like sometimes like Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, like Oklahoma, like some of them make it look like it's easy. Like you watch some of those Big 12 games and it's like 75-72 and you think it's easy. 60 points not easy. So it's like if their offense is that potent and Northwestern's defense is potentially that bad, I mean, anything could happen. We gave them I don't know. And we can move on because it's week one. We don't want to make too many reactions. Right. But the last thing I'll say on this is I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be watching because I want to know if this is, you know, if this is just a one-time thing.
Michigan State then.
Or if this is going to be paying attention to them. Yeah, definitely. So the next game we can get into, let's talk about Ohio State, Minnesota. We're just really quickly. Okay. Yeah. Ohio State Minnesota was a really good game.
It was. It was an exciting game.
And honestly, it was exact. I don't know if I said it on this. I feel like I did say it on this show. I know I said it on one of the other ones. But it was exactly how I thought it would play out. Like, I've been trying to tell everyone. Like, for some reason, Landgrant Holy Land lets me do 3 podcasts. And I've been trying to tell everyone on all these podcasts that Minnesota is good.
Yeah.
And nobody really wanted good. To believe me. Really and I'm just good. Like... I know for a fact I said it somewhere that it wouldn't surprise me if Minnesota is winning at halftime and then Ohio State comes out and you know,
scores a really big play. Gets a big play. That's really what happened.
That's what all the good teams do. Like at the end of the day, this exact game, we've seen this exact game from everyone. This happened last year with Clemson at BC. It happens every once in a while with Ohio State. It happens with Alabama.
And that's the problem because what's upsetting is like when that happens, when they get those big plays, the team tries to come and do the exact same thing. And it's like, no, don't play Ohio State's game. That's exactly what they want you to do. Like, yeah, they got a big touchdown. Now go back and just play your game because you were already winning playing your game. Don't play their game. And they came out and tried to get a big play too. And it,
you start to feel that pressure and it kind of falls away. But Minnesota's good. I was trying to tell them. I was watching some pass rush snaps because they put up highlights of their tackle, the 6'9" tackle, and he's literally just bullying people.
Yeah, like, no, big as shit. They have a big line.
Yeah, like they bullying. And here's the thing: Ohio State has a good defensive line. It's not great. A great defensive line is what Georgia has. Georgia's defensive line is stupid, but Ohio State has a good defensive line. Ohio State, their starters, all 4 starters and multiple of their backups are going to the NFL. And that Minnesota offensive tackle was just like, chill.
Yeah,
man.
they're all
we're not doing pounds, this.
Right? Or something like that.
Yeah,
like they're all over 6'7" or something like that.
They're not all over 6'7", but they average like 6'6". Like they average like 6'5", 6'6", 300 pounds.
Yeah. Okay.
That's like they're huge.
Okay. Yeah. Like yeah. That's a gigantic offensive line with a really good running back behind them.
Yeah. And then they have. Yeah. And then they. I think someone said they have like 300 combined starts between them.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They know each other.
Like people thought Minnesota wasn't gonna play well. Like
yeah. No, it was a really good game. It was exciting to watch, and on defense they can rush the passer. Like they can even get to the quarterback.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like I don't think they had any sacks, but there was multiple. Maybe they did.
I think they had like 1 or 2.
It definitely wasn't 2. They may have had 1, because they definitely put some pressure on him, but he threw the ball away a couple of times. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, no, they didn't have any official sacks.
Okay.
But, like, they got some pressure, and he threw the ball away, which is what you're supposed to do, but it wasn't just comfortable sitting back there. And that is also – that's something even I didn't expect, because Ohio State has one of the best offensive lines in the country.
They ain't got the best one. At least that's not what I saw.
Listen, I'm going to just say this. Clemson would give up any – they would fire Dabo today to have Minnesota's offensive line.
I mean, I feel like anybody would do a lot to have that offensive line.
Yeah, but like Because Alabama's offensive
line. Clemson definitely needed it.
Yeah. Like, but that's the thing. The reason why I say that is, like, sure, if you watch the game, fine. That sounds, but, like, Minnesota shouldn't have a better offensive line than Clemson. To a lot of people who follow recruiting and all this other kind of stuff. Like, Clemson has a bunch of high 4 and 5 stars on their offensive line. It don't matter. They're not good.
It looks like Minnesota might have the best offensive line in the country.
I'm still going to give it to... Well, no. I'm not even going to argue that. I'm not going to argue it because... you can't argue. It's either Minnesota, Alabama, Ohio State, or... No, it's probably those three. Those are probably the top three offensive lines.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because you want to say Wisconsin's, but not the way Penn State made them look.
No, and I think also that might be indicative about the receivers in a way. I don't think they didn't consistently get separation. It's either that or like I told you, like the slow delivery that both those, like even both, but especially Nebraska's quarterback has, it gets in the way of good protection in a way.
Yeah.
Because we saw the same thing with Cam Newton when he first was around in the NFL.
I mean, we still see the same thing with Cam Newton. But
it's slow. It's so slow that it messes up timing.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think, you know, and we talked about the offensive line, and maybe that's because we're a football nerd, but we didn't give enough respect yet to Mo Ibrahim. Yeah. So let me tell you something, because I don't know like how much attention you paid on my Twitter. So I'm talking on Twitter, right? And I'm trying to give praise to Minnesota because they're a good team. I've been saying they're a good team. After watching this game, I think they have a chance of winning the Big Ten West. I really do. Especially because a lot of Big Ten West teams don't have an offense. So the biggest question is, if it's Minnesota and Iowa, do they have enough of an offense to win some game, like to win some plays against Iowa's defense, who we're going to talk about. But so I was talking and they were like, yeah, Ohio State's defense has some holes, you know, that a better offense can take advantage of, which is fine. They do have some holes. They struggled a little bit. But my question was, I said, okay, but are we sure that Oregon's offense is better than Minnesota's? And somebody said, they said, of course, literally, they said, of course Oregon's offense is better. Don't be dense. And I said, okay, let's break it down. Minnesota has the better running back. Minnesota has the better offensive line.
Yes.
They probably have the better quarterback, but even if we call that a push, even if we say it's even, the only thing you could absolutely be better at them at is wide receiver. And that's a maybe, because we didn't see their best wide receiver because he was injured, and Dylan Wright could look good. But even if we give Oregon wide receiver, and maybe we give him tight end, that's at best, it's even then. But here's the thing.
And I think Minnesota's defense is better than Oregon's defense.
No. But we were only talking about – I was only talking about offense.
Just offense?
Okay. Yeah, I was only talking about offense. Because I don't think there's anyone's defense who's actually going to stop Ohio State enough. Like, especially once they figure out, like, you know, their quarterback settles in a little bit. Except, but this is a Big Ten podcast. We're not talking about December. Well, January. Like, if we get to Alabama, we'll talk about that. But like, I'm talking about like on their schedule.
Oh yeah.
So So it's like, so we're only talking offense because basically. Yeah, but we're going to talk about Iowa, but I even tweeted it. Iowa's problem is they don't have enough of an offense. I feel like the Iowa game could look exactly like Minnesota. They could make a couple of turnovers. They could have a couple of good plays. They could be up, and then Ohio State's just like, oh, wait, we can score on a 75-yard play. Let's do that. And Iowa's not going to be able to keep up. That's what happens every time Ohio State plays a Big Ten West team. They do it to Northwestern and Wisconsin every year. Northwestern and Wisconsin's defense is really, really good. They play a really close game for a half, and then Ohio State's like, wait, you can't guard our wide receiver on a post. there you go. Here's our other wide receiver on a go route because he's faster than your entire roster. There you go. And now the game is over. So,
yeah.
But anyway, so I was like, so that Minnesota's better at these two positions for sure. I'm like, their running back, he's like, yeah, but we have good playmakers at running back. I said, Minnesota's running back would start for you today immediately. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. But the reason why I'm telling this, the reason why I'm telling this is I said Minnesota's running back is a top three running back in the country. And this dude had the nerve to say to me, he said, you can't say, he said, LOL at you calling him a top three running back after one game.
One game?
I'm like, are you stupid? Like, respectfully and disrespectfully, are you stupid? Like,
yeah, because he don't know nothing about last season then.
No. Before. Because he's been there since 2018. I literally said, if you think I'm talking about one game, you shouldn't be in this conversation with me. Like are you seeing, like, you don't know who Mo Ibrahim is? Like you don't know that name. That means you don't do nothing but watch Oregon football games. Like, you've never just watched another football game.
Yeah, if you don't know Oregon, who this is. You watch Oregon, and then you watch the playoffs.
And you turn off the commercials, and when they do the graphics of like who's leading and rushing and who's playing really well, because his highlights were all over TV last year because he's really good. Yeah. He literally has nine, including last year, he has nine straight 100-yard games.
Yeah, he was just talking to talk.
Literally, just like, bro, get out my mentions. So Mo Ibrahim is amazing. We haven't heard anything about his injury, which is unfortunate. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Like, I'm trying to decide if, like, they're keeping it quiet because it's really bad news, or they're keeping it quiet because, like, he's fine and going to play next week. I hope it's the second one, but he's right. Really, really good. Like, we knew he was good, and he's still better.
Mm-hmm. Even after they lost him, the guy who took his spot was he did well. He played well in that cleanup spot.
Yeah. The one thing that I will say, especially as someone who played defense, because here's another thing that I said that people argue with me about. I said, and let me know, honest opinion, if you think this is stupid, but you play defense, so I think you understand what I'm saying. I said, for everyone who feels all doom and gloom about Ohio State's defense, Ohio State played, like I said, Mo Ibrahim had 30 carries for 163 yards. I said, if you take away his 56-yard run, he averaged 3.5 yards per carry. On 29 runs, he averaged 3.5 yards per carry. No, and all of the statistics, yes, you count the 56-yard run. But the reason why I said it is when you coach defense, especially in the first game, you look at things that can be cleaned up. You can clean up missed tackles. You can clean up penalties. And you can clean up, you can limit big plays. If a running back of his caliber only had one big run, and again, comparing it to Kenneth Walker, who had multiple big runs and ran for 260, I'm like, there's different ways. Like, it looked bad, but also people are forgetting all of the times he was tackled for a loss, all of the times that he was stopped at one or two gains. Like, he wasn't consistently gashing them. So, and this was specifically for OSU fans. My point is this, right? He's top three running back in the country. If you want to spin that positively, he only had one good run against them. And the rest of it was 3.5 yards a carry.
I think, well, okay, and that might play in, because I'm trying to give the Minnesota side, it'd be a bit of concern, it's the passing game. Because then that's when that plays in, because it's like, if the defense, yeah, because that is good for OSU's defense. As a defensive player, like, yeah, we only gave up one big run. But what I am going to say is that if there's a team that has both, that we could be a little concerned, like a good quarterback and a good running back, because they were OSU. I saw that OSU was able to lock in and go stop the run. Cause I don't think we're not that afraid of your passing game.
Right.
So we can lock in and stop your running game. Even if you do play action, it's like, oh, we're just going to stop this running game regardless. So
And yeah, and that's the thing. Like, there were definitely things that were concerning. That wasn't the point of my statement. I was just saying, like, hey, all you OSU fans are in my mentions and everywhere. Like, Ohio State is not going to play a better running back than this. Even when they play Alabama, Alabama doesn't have a better running back than this. The only running back, he's not that good.
We'll see.
He's not. He's not.
We'll see. Well, he's not as good as him. Well, no, he's not as good as
I'm not ready to say how good Alabama's running back is, because at least currently their number one running back is like a fourth or fifth year senior. Like, he was on the roster when who was the running back before Najee Harris? Who's in the Damon Harris. Damon.
Yeah, I think so. I can't even remember.
Damon Harris, yeah. Which is like 3 years. He was in the roster 3 years ago as a backup. So I'm not ready to say how good he is, because he's lost his job to people younger than him twice at Alabama. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying he's not good. Everyone on Alabama's roster is good. I'm saying if and when Ohio State plays Alabama, Alabama's going to be very good in a lot of areas. But singularly, per position, Alabama's running back is not better.
No, I wasn't gonna say, he's not going to see a better. I was just saying good. They're not going to see a better. Yeah.
No. So that's my thing. I was just like, yo, Ohio State fans, like, y'all played decent against him. It wasn't great. He had 163 yards. He had a 56-yard touchdown. Like, he did gas y'all at times. We all watched the game.
Yeah.
But that's a positive, a potential positive. It's a step in the right direction.
Like, if you're going to probably stop their defense, you're going to stop the run against probably every other Big Ten team you're going to go up against. You're probably going to stop that run,
which is essentially what I was trying to say.
Yeah, so, yeah. Like, you're going to have no trouble stopping the run against the rest of the Big Ten. It's when you get to the playoffs where you want to maybe have concerns or not,
because they may be able to run and pass, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Alabama's running back may not be as good, but they can pass better. So
they
they
can throw the ball.
Yeah. So,
but overall, I mean, in the Big Ten, I don't see you guys going up against a real big threat at the quarterback position.
Especially not after this first weekend.
Yeah, like, after I watched the two teams where I thought had a chance to do something. I mean,
this is the perfect segue. So, do you have anything else to say about Ohio State versus Minnesota?
No. Ohio State played an Ohio State game. Really?
Yeah, essentially. I mean, there's not much to say, except I don't want to even focus on Ohio State. I'm an Ohio State fan. Everyone knows this, but I don't want to focus on them. I want to focus on Minnesota. They played really well.
Yeah, no, Minnesota played really, really well.
And especially if Mo Ibrahim is healthy, they have a chance to win the Big Ten West.
They should be coming out of there.
But the perfect transition is, we were talking about quarterbacks, and you mentioned that we're probably not going to play any good quarterbacks. The quarterback who was supposed to be the best quarterback in the Big Ten is Michael Penix Jr. Do you know who that is off the top of your head?
Isn't that I don't want to get this wrong. I really don't want to get this wrong, but I want to say Penn?
Nope.
No.
Worse.
Please don't say Wisconsin.
No, I Indiana.
Oh, Indiana. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's right, because I was like, no, the name was there, and I was like, what team was that? That's why I couldn't remember, because I was like, who played well? He played awful. Holy crap.
Exactly. And again, that's just one game. He has played good in his career. I don't want to make these these overreactions to just one game. But at the end of the day, he was supposed to be the best running back in the Big Ten. He was supposed to be the best quarterback in the Big Ten.
But the best quarterback in the Big Ten? Wow. I mean, I don't know. Okay, so I didn't see him play last year, but when I watched this game, and I had it up, because I had like three different things going, so I could watch three different games at a time. And when I tell you that he was nervous. He was really, really nervous. I mean,
Of the things where it's like, where what's his name? I think his name was Riley Moss. Yeah, Riley Moss is just going, I'm watching you, bro. I'm watching you watch him. Oh, you going right here. Thank you. Like, he had two of them. He had two of them.
Two pick sixes. For anyone, just to clarify, for anyone who didn't watch the game, a corner named Riley Moss had two pick sixes.
Two of them. And I mean, just easy money. Just easy. I think the first one, because one of them was a tip, and then he took it to the house. And then the other one, he just literally read it completely. And I think it was the first one where he just literally, he didn't even move. He just stood there. Dude hit his cut to finish his route, and he literally broke on the throw. Yeah. And the quarterback looked at him the entire time because they went back and showed it again. And I watched. You just said his name,
Michael Penix Jr.
Penix. Yeah. I mean, he literally stared him down. He's supposed to be the best doing that.
Yeah, and granted, it was like he's the best returner because like people didn't know if CJ Stroud was going to be good, and there's some other teams with like new quarterbacks, whatever. But like, he's supposed to be the best returning quarterback.
Wow, he looked like he just started. That's crazy.
So I'm not trying to promote myself, but I just thought like sometimes you say something that's like good and you're like, okay, I like that. So speaking of Riley Moss, because like you said, like why would you keep throwing? I literally wrote, I was like, after returning the first interception 31 yards for a touchdown, Penix thought he should test him again, and Moss rewarded that disrespect by taking it 55 yards for a second score. Like that, like the Michael Jordan, and I took that personally. Like Riley Moss was like, you really
Oh, okay. You try me again? Like, you really stare me down again. So, hey, thanks.
What'd he say on SpongeBob? How many times we gotta teach you this lesson, old man?
Because it was like, I was sitting there because I was like, ain't no way. Because like when he threw the ball, I was like, no. And he's like, and he
ain't no way, boy.
I was like, oh, bro.
Ain't no way, boy. Man, ain't no way.
And you know what was really bad? He wasn't done throwing picks after that.
No. The worst part about it was that the announcers are watching it, and they look at him and they say, yeah, Michael Penix Jr. is talking to the wide receiver and telling him he ran the wrong route.
Yeah, I remember that.
What route was he supposed to run? You threw the ball.
You threw the ball straight where he was about to be.
Exactly. It wasn't like you threw a slant and it just went to him. You threw the ball exactly where the receiver was. So if he ran the wrong route, even if that was true, I don't know your offense, why would you still throw it to him?
Here's my thing. If you stare him down and he runs the wrong route, immediately look away. Because I don't understand. He messing up. What is this? Like,
you're going to look at him.
It's not like he hit the receiver did like a hitch and he threw a fade and it was a pick.
Or something.
No, he threw the hitch and it was picked.
Or like Ohio State versus Clemson 2 years ago, where Justin Fields threw the post and the guy ran the other direction thinking it was a scramble drill. That's one of the ones with like, I was throwing with anticipation. You threw the wrong route. No, you threw it at dude. You threw it at whatever route he ran. That's where you were throwing. And yeah. Riley Moss was like,
matter of fact, he threw the first one, the 30-yard pick six. He threw that ball before the break. That's why he Moss was able to break on it so easily, because the receiver didn't even turn around yet. So it's like, who? You're a liar.
I watched that game, right? And I'm watching it, and I'm First of all, I'm not even going to lie. I want to be as honest as possible as I can on this podcast. I watched that game and I instantly felt like a fucking idiot. And I'm sorry for cussing on here. I try not to cuss too much, but that was cuss worthy. I watched that game and I'm like, I'm so stupid. But also,
expect that at all.
In my defense, you know, like, I think part of me didn't like Iowa because how much the media liked Iowa. Like, it's the same thing with, like, UNC. Everyone loved North Carolina, and then they got beat by Virginia Tech. Like I thought that was Iowa. I thought they were a team that I'm like, the media doesn't watch the Big Ten. Why are they choosing Iowa? They just don't want to choose Wisconsin. Like, this is obviously
because apparently, like, for the past 6 years, they lead the country in takeovers. Yeah, with 96.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard, bro.
I forgot the year span, but they lead the country in
I think you were right. I think it was 6 years. And it's not surprising because Iowa's had multiple first round corners. Isn't Desmond, what is it, something King? I don't know. Is he good in the NFL? You know what I'm talking about? Because he was definitely a first-round pick. Yeah, Desmond King. Oh, he plays for... Did he play for the Vikings? He may not be good in the NFL. But he was really, really good at Iowa. He was the first... He was the first true freshman to start at defensive back for Iowa since 2002.
I'm telling you, I guess If Indiana's supposed to have the best returning quarterback in the Big Ten, then congratulations, Ohio State, on winning the Big Ten.
No, dead ass. That's how I felt watching this because, okay, so we talked about this beforehand. You felt like Iowa's quarterback played really well. So I pulled up the stats. He didn't play that well. It just looked like, you know, like, okay, but here's, I also want to clarify this. He did everything he was supposed to. You know, like, somehow, like, stats can lie. Like, a player can look like they're playing better than their stats.
Because they always had short field position because of their defense takeover. Yeah. So it's not that fair to be like to say his stat, to look at his stats and be like, well, he didn't play that well. Because it's like,
the one thing.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish. You good?
I was just thinking, what I saw him do with what he was given, he played well. Like, and he was just given short field. So it was like, I don't know. At the same time, we'll have to see more. I just think he played pretty good. He played better. He didn't throw three or four picks. I'll give you that.
That's all that matters. So the one thing I would say for why I say he didn't play that well is he threw for less than 50% completion. He was 13 of 27 for 145 yards.
Throw the ball that much?
No. He was 13 of 27 for 145 yards.
Okay. He had a rushing touchdown.
Did he?
Yeah. That was the 20. Yeah. That's when he went 21-0.
Yeah, or something like that. You're right. So, I mean. Hold on. Listen to this. So, Ty Freifogel, who's a really good wide receiver. He's the only thing that was good about Indiana that day. He had
what's the name? Threw so many picks. Like, how is that even possible?
I don't know. So, listen to this. He had 5 receptions for 84 yards. That's a pretty good game, right?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Guess how many yards Riley Moss had in interception returns.
100 and I could no. He had 87 yards.
85.
Interception yards.
The Iowa DB had more receiving yards than both top wide receivers because Iowa's leading receiver had basically the same stats as Ty Freifogel. He had 5 receptions for 83 yards. So Iowa's DB had more receiving yards. That's stupid.
Oh, man. He was like, wow, he really did. He really stared that receiver right down again. And then he did. Like, how many picks did he throw? I got to look this up.
He threw 3.
You're already there. He threw 3. Yeah. He could have had 5. Easily. That's what it was.
I'm pretty sure Iowa dropped one, didn't they? In like the third or fourth.
Dropped 2, I believe. Yeah. I think they dropped 2 of them.
It was just bad. And it's so confusing because it's like, okay, fine. If someone told me that Indiana wasn't going to be as good as last year and that I had slightly overhyped them, and I think I had them at 10-2, Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll take that. Anything can happen. But 34-6? Three interceptions?
And it could have been more. It could have been more.
Like, they only had 77 rushing yards.
Yeah.
As a team. 77 rushing yards as a team. Like,
Iowa and Minnesota. That's who I'm rooting for. Iowa, Minnesota, literally. Ohio State. Let's go, because Indiana is going to be out of here.
Yeah, they are. So it's just like, that's one of those, like, now I'm looking for Iowa. I'm going to be watching for Iowa, especially because I put this in the thing that I wrote too. I said, Iowa's only job now, it's just because their schedule is easy. If I remember. No, it's not. Their schedule is not easy, which is partially why I had them 8-4. But also, they look better than Penn State and Wisconsin did. So I said, Iowa's only job right now is literally to spend the next 11 games getting a competent offense. Because with that defense, if they get a competent offense, they can scare Ohio State.
Yep.
But you're not going to beat Ohio State if your quarterback's going 13 of 27.
If the 13 of 27 is because they have short field.
But you're not going to do that even against Ohio State, because you're not all, you're like, no one in the country is holding Ohio State to 6 points.
Oh yeah, well no, yeah no.
But so like,
I can see a pick six. I can see one. It can happen.
I doubt it, because Ohio State's wide receivers are faster. They're gonna hawk them down.
Okay.
They're gonna hawk them.
We gotta get into the scores of the other games, because we're running a little late here.
Yeah, because this is what we do. Okay, so let's talk about this last game, and then we can run into the scores for all the other games. Because we don't have a whole lot to preview, because it's week two. So we'll be all right. So this game was amazing to watch, but as far as actual analysis, there's not much to say. Penn State versus Wisconsin. Literally just the most Big Ten game of all time.
It was a gritty defensive game. It was a really good defensive game. Like I said earlier, I think both quarterbacks have the ugliest deliveries I've ever seen. And not ugly. Let me not say ugly. Slowest. And it looks ugly to me because it's so slow. And that's what... For both teams, I feel like either team could have lost that game. It was because of their quarterbacks.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Like, just so everyone that's listening can hear part of me and Dante's conversation earlier, Dante was talking about how great of a defensive game it was, and I agree with that. But the point that I made is I feel like that game was more really bad offense than really good defense. Like, and I have to quantify that in saying the defenses are really good. Like, I'm not saying that they're not. But you know, like, a really bad offense can make a really good defense look like it's God himself on the field. Like, that's what that was. Like they're not that good.
And the thing is, we might not know. Because that's why I say, like, the defense might be good. Because we might not even know. Like, their offense, both teams' offense could be better than what we saw. It's just that their defenses never even let their offense really get a rhythm. Like they kind of got going and then it would stop. And that was happening for both teams. Like, they would get something going and then the defenses would be like, no, and just shut it down.
See, but that's the point I disagree with. I think the defenses, so let me just put fake numbers to it just because it'll make sense. So I think both of those teams could be top 25 defenses.
Yeah.
Maybe better. But, like, let's just be safe. Top 25 defenses. Right. That game made them look like top 5 defenses. So what I'm saying
Okay. So, because to me, I don't think so. I don't think they look that good. I don't think they look top 5.
They
so
look
I was like, going to say top 15.
I wouldn't say 5. That's 10 spots. And Wisconsin, I believe, being top 25. I don't believe that Penn State's defense is a top 25 defense.
Okay. No.
I think the offenses were just so bad, it made them look better Like, mm-hmm. but again, none of them are going to be top 60 defenses. Like, they're going to be top 30. They're going to be top 40. But there's a big jump between, like, being the 37th defense and being the number 3 defense. And in my opinion, because I watched almost every game, the 3 best defenses I've seen so far in college football was Georgia's, Penn State's, and Wisconsin. And I think Georgia's is legitimate, although they were slightly bumped up because Clemson's offense sucks. But, like, Georgia's legitimate. I think these two have good defenses. I just don't think their defense is as good as they looked. I just think those offenses are literally anemic. They had no plan. They had no ability. The quarterbacks were bad.
But they couldn't, like, that's why, because, like, when I was watching some of the game, especially in the first half, like, they kind of, like, both teams were able to move the ball down the field a little bit, and then they were halted. So I was like, they look like they have potential to be better offenses.
Yeah, but that's the other thing with that. Like, they moved the ball, and then they were like, they just, like, gave up. Like, I said earlier that Wisconsin should have won that game, and it's not because Wisconsin's, you know, the significantly better team. I'm just talking about how the game played out. They should have won the game. Literally. Wisconsin, anyone who's ever played catch and ever could have hit that wide receiver. Because he's only like 12 yards. That's what I'm saying. He was only 12 yards down the field, wide open in the middle. It wasn't to the sidelines. It wasn't 30 yards. Like, let's be honest. I had shoulder surgery. If you want an accurate pass, the max you're getting from me is like 25 yards. Anything other than that is bad. He was like 12 yards in front of him in the middle. And he overthrew him. The dude could have Michael Jackson moonwalked for a touchdown. So it's like, I just think the offenses were so bad. And I literally watched this slate of games and I said, Ohio State's winning the Big Ten. Like, Minnesota the toughest team that they play all year. Yeah. Until they get into the postseason. Minnesota may be the toughest team that they play.
And it was the first game of the season. Like that's it. Yeah, because then, we don't even get a chance to see Minnesota, grow and get better, then face Ohio State. Nope, yeah,
right.
We got that toughest team out the way, and now we're just going to ransack the rest of the Big Ten because nobody has an offense that can keep up with them.
Exactly, because here's the thing, as much as we talk about Iowa, and I do think Iowa's really good, last year, so, like, Justin Fields threw, like, 7 interceptions his entire career. 3 of them were last year in the Big Ten championship game against Northwestern. If I told you, just a blind test, I said, your quarterback throws 3 interceptions. Do you win the game? What do you say?
I will say no.
Because in most cases, you throw 3 interceptions, you don't win. Yeah. Last year, I want to pull up the score, but just to finish making this point. Last year, the final score was 22-10. Justin Fields threw 3 interceptions.
They couldn't even put up 17 points with 3 interceptions.
Right. So that's how I low-key feel about Iowa. Their offense isn't good. So they could pick off Justin Fields 3 times. But 2 pick sixes, I mean, they're really great cornerbacks who've never had a pick six in their career. So you can't rely on 14 points from your defense if you can pick them off 3 times. Which is also hard, but even if you do that, you could still lose to Ohio State because Northwestern just did it last year. So I watched these games just thinking, man, like, I really wish the Big Ten, because I like parity. Like, I know college football is not really about parity, and, you know, some people just love to watch their team, but, like, I want to see them struggle. Like, I remember, like, when Ohio State used to lose a couple of games, not like to Purdue, but if they would lose to a really good team or like almost lose to Penn State, like those were good games. I want, like, it's fine if Ohio State doesn't win the Big Ten every single year. Alabama doesn't win the SEC every single year. They've lost the SEC to Georgia. They've lost the SEC to LSU. That is fine.
Yep.
But these teams in the Big Ten, they refuse to have any kind of offense. If Iowa had a competent offense with that defense, they could beat Ohio State. They could, because their defense is that good. But it's just like, man, like, that's really my takeaway from this entire weekend. It's like, why do you refuse to hire an offensive staff?
Yeah, because, like, even where the scores were, like, Nebraska putting up 52 points, that's against 4 damn. Who cares? Like, Rucker is putting up 61 points, but that's against Temple. So it's like they're not even – like the people who put up big numbers are going against teams with atrocious defenses. So
– and their defenses are worse. Like, the teams who actually have the ability to beat Ohio State refuse to get an offense. Maryland has had a good offense for years. Maryland's offense is genuinely fun to watch. Like, I enjoy watching Maryland games. Their offense is innovative. It's fun to watch. They have a quarterback who can run and who can throw. Like, Tua Tagovailoa is not the best quarterback in the world, but he's electric. He's fun to watch. If these teams, like... I'm not saying you're going to get Tua to come.
While they can put up 30-some points, they can give up 30-something points.
Right. But why can't Iowa get a quarterback who could give them 30-something points when they can stop a team from scoring 30? Like, yeah. it just doesn't make sense to me. It's just frustrating. And I should – maybe frustrating is the wrong word because, like, I am an Ohio State fan, so if they keep winning,
it's
still, whatever.
It's frustrating. Like, it's sad to it's not sad, but it's kind of like it's predictable, and that can become boring.
Because even in the SEC, we may all be lying to ourselves, but we can get hype about a couple of teams. Like you can be excited for Georgia this year. Maybe not after watching this game because their offense is anemic, just like Iowa. But like. You could get excited for Georgia and think, oh, this is the year that they beat Ohio State because they have all this talent and they finally have a quarterback, all this kind of stuff. You can't say that about any Big Ten team because you're not going to beat Ohio State on defense alone because to throw more numbers out there, if Ohio State has 15 possessions and you stop them 10 times, they can still score 35 points.
Yeah.
Can you score 35 points? No, you can't.
Probably
so not. You lost. Your defense had a great game, and you lost.
Yeah.
You lost 35-14 because you can't score.
Yeah.
And it still looks like a blowout.
I'm just hoping, like, maybe Iowa can turn it up on offense and keep that defense going. Because it looks like they're going to keep that defense going.
Yeah, and that's exciting because I love defense.
I mean, I can't believe Purdue won. Like, I really can't believe Purdue won. Like,
yeah, no, that's crazy. Okay, so any last thing about that game then? You mentioned Purdue, so we can get into all the other scores. I'm not sure if we mentioned the scores even for the games that we talked about, so I'll just run down all of them. So Ohio State beat Minnesota 45-31. Michigan State beat Northwestern 38-21. Penn State beat Wisconsin 16-10.
You know what? And it's funny, real quick. I said that Penn State Wisconsin game was going to be low scoring. I think I said that.
You did. And you were right. Mm-hmm. I think last thing on that one, I think it's funny that a lot of national people were like talking about how boring that game was just for Clemson and Georgia to have less points.
Yep. And both games were fun to watch, honestly. That's just because a lot of people don't like watching good. A lot of people see good defense games and think they're boring. And it's like, no, that you're watching a really good defense stop a really good offense. And I think that's better.
Yeah. Also, the other thing about that, Jack Sanborn, like everyone talks about like why Chris Olave is still in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. That Wisconsin linebacker, he should be in the NFL. Like, if Chris Olave should be in the NFL, he should have already been in the NFL. He's like a super senior. You're an NFL player, dude.
Well,
like,
they remember they gave everybody an extra year.
I don't care. Go make your money, bro.
Well, now you can off your name. Like, now you can a little bit. So,
But he already had it.
I don't know.
Okay, so... Michigan beat Western Michigan 47-14. Rutgers beat Temple 61-14. I still can't believe that.
That's crazy, bro. Points. Like 61's a lot.
Yeah.
I can't believe that. Like, what did Nebraska put up last week?
Like,
what the fuck was that? I don't even like bad. 22 points, and then next week puts up 30 more than that. All right.
Like, that's believable. The way they looked, if you would have told me they would have put up 35 points, I would have called you a liar.
A liar. And they put up 52. Like, okay, yeah, you just lied to us, Nebraska, thanks. But 52-7 there.
Hold on, I'm trying to pull this up. I really just need to see this because this just doesn't make any sense. Okay, it's taking too long. Let's pull this up. What does that look like? What does 61 points look like in real life? 61 points.
Yo, he's still stuck on that.
I gotta get to Saturday. I just need to see the breakdown of 61 points. Okay, listen to this. They scored double digits in every quarter. The first quarter they scored 12. The second quarter they scored 14. Okay. The third quarter they scored 14. Uh-oh. The fourth quarter they scored 21. Okay. So 12. I doubt that's 3 field goals. So I have a feeling that they missed some like extra points or something, which means it really should have been 63 points.
Bro. That's so crazy.
They kicked one field goal the entire game.
They scored touchdowns every time. They scored a touchdown every time. That's outrageous.
They kicked one field goal.
That's actually wild.
One field goal the entire game.
They scored touchdowns every time they could.
Do you what?
Every time like, they got
like Rutgers.
Oh man,
we're talking. I'm sorry. I know I should move on, but we're talking about Rutgers. Okay, so the reason why it wasn't they had a safety, which is how it got weird.
So they scored a touchdown, kicked a field goal, got a safety, and then touchdown.
Yes. 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 That's crazy. Okay, I just Rutgers 61 points. Okay.
Oh, so, simple. That was on television, bro.
You have families. Your dad watched that. Your dad had to go to work.
You couldn't stop a month. Like
your dad has to go into work on Tuesday and someone's gonna be like, "Hey, your son plays football for Temple, right?"
I don't have a son.
He's dead to me.
Oh, God. Oh, they can only put up 14, bro. Oh, man.
And Temple's in Philly. So they're going to say it with a Philly accent, too. Oh, my God.
That's going to be real angry, man.
Okay, let's move on.
So, okay.
Nebraska beat Fordham. Nebraska beat Fordham 52-7. Iowa beat Indiana 34-6.
That's even a lot of points.
I'm not gonna waste time pulling up their scoreboard, but that's a lot. That's stupid too. Hold on. Just quick math.
Surprised
52 us. To just quick math. 52-7 and 7 touchdowns and 1 field goal. Yeah. Okay. Maryland beat West Virginia. Maryland.
This Jesus Christ. Okay. All right. Maryland surprised me. I did not think they were going to be able to come back and win that game.
I didn't either because West Virginia is a good team, but they did. They won. They beat West Virginia 30-24. Purdue got a win. They beat Oregon State 30-21. And then Illinois lost to UTSA 37-30.
After I said they should have won that game, because I had a feeling if Illinois is going to win their first game, they should win the second one. But they came out so excited that they won that first one that they shat the bed and lost the second one.
Yeah. But shout out to the Big Ten. There were some Big Ten losers because some Big Ten teams played each other. But no Big Ten team lost their out-of-conference game except Illinois. Like, they almost went undefeated in the out-of-conference. Yeah. So. Okay. So, let's
field goal, bro.
Yeah. That's nuts. So we're running long as always, but I knew we were going to do that for the first week. There's not a whole lot to preview, so we can knock this out not too long. We're going to take it's stupid, but because we're super late into it, but we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and then we'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the I-70 Football Show, where we just talked and laughed for like 5 minutes about Rutgers scoring 61 points. It's not that we're off schedule or anything. So let's get into our week two preview. It's the Big Ten. It's college football. So week two does not have that many good games. The Big Ten gave us an amazing slate of games week one, so they were not repeating that. So I'm gonna run down.
Of 61 on Syracuse,
they actually might. Because Syracuse is probably worse than Temple.
Oh my god,
Syracuse is terrible.
They put up 70. They might put up 70.
Oh god, Dante, don't do this to me. I do not.
Have no, no, I promise you, Rutgers. They're gonna put up 10 points and lose. Watch.
Oh my god. Like,
what? What team are you?
So they're going to be Nebraska. They're going to put up 20 points one game, lose, and then put up 52 the next week. And then you're sitting there like, okay, so which team are you? Do you have an offense or not?
What are you doing here? Oh, man, that is hilarious.
All right, so let's run down these games really quick. We have Illinois versus Virginia. Michigan State versus Youngstown State. Michigan State's going to start out 2-0. Minnesota versus Miami of Ohio. That's going to be a bounce back game, even without Mo Ibrahim. Northwestern versus Indiana State. They should win that game, but like
they might lose.
Am I confident now? I know nothing about Indiana State, but like at this point, I didn't think Michigan State would beat them. So who knows? Rutgers is dropping 70 against Syracuse. Oh God, Purdue's going to start 2-0.
Right.
They play UConn. UConn's the worst team in college football.
Ain't that crazy?
First week of the season, UConn's head coach said that he's retiring after the season.
Hey, you know who's going to lose this week? Lose their out of conference game, and they shouldn't. It's going to be Nebraska.
They're going to lose to Buffalo.
It's going to be Nebraska. Watch.
They really might lose to Buffalo.
Watch.
So I'm pretty sure, let me just pull this up really quickly. I'm pretty sure I thought Purdue. So I have Purdue at 2-10. You have them at 1-11. They're already going to match our win totals. Although my 2-10, my 2-10 may be accurate because I have them beating Michigan State, which is probably not going to happen. But they're already going to exceed your win total in week two. Because UConn is the worst team in college football. So Penn State plays Ball State. Nebraska plays Buffalo. I think we both predicted that as a win, but let's be honest, I don't think it's going to be that no more. Like, I'm 100% with you. I think they lose that game now. Iowa plays Iowa State, which is the
second. Iowa's going to be Iowa State. Like I said,
I didn't think they would, but the way they just played, they probably will. Let's see.
They're going to beat Iowa State. That defense is going to stop them.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's bad. Wisconsin plays Eastern Michigan. Indiana plays Idaho. Michigan plays Washington, which was a good game until Washington lost to an FCS school. Ohio State plays Oregon. And then Maryland plays Howard.
Is Maryland going to put up like 40 points against Howard?
Oh, my God. Maryland's going to destroy Howard. Oh, like, it's going to be really bad.
Oh, my goodness. Week two is going to be like a predictable week, really.
Honestly, but here's the thing, right? In all honesty, none of these, like, the Big Ten should go 12-0 next week.
Yeah, I even Ohio State against Oregon seems boring because I'm pretty sure Ohio State is going to put up 50-something points and Oregon's only going to score 17.
Yeah. So, let's get into that just a little bit. Oregon's supposed to be a good team. They looked not that good. Who did Oregon play last week? Oh, I'm tripping. They played.
I was just looking at it. I literally was just looking at it on my phone.
a really good a team that they should not have been so close to.
No, Oregon. I don't know. Fresno State.
Yeah. Oregon almost lost to Fresno State and their best player, Kayvon Thibodeau, who is the number one pick of the next draft, is supposed to be out with a sprained ankle. And Kayvon, especially after the way these quarterbacks played this week, if that keeps up, Kayvon Thibodeau is definitely the number one pick. I've been trying to tell everyone forever that this draft eligible quarterback class is terrible, and no one wants to listen to me.
Right.
They all suck this week.
Yeah, it's not
going to
be a bad draft class this year.
Oh, Notre Dame, sir, has the lead right now at the half.
Yeah, but Florida State sucks. They Notre Dame should be up. Notre Dame should be up like 3 touchdowns. Florida State hasn't been good since James Winston left. I know. I have the game on. It's muted. Like, Notre Dame should be up by like 3 touchdowns. I told you this last week. I told you this last week, but I want to remind you because you're looking at this game. Notre Dame's quarterback lost his job to Wisconsin's quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, how do you feel about Notre Dame?
It's so bad. Because if you really think about it, I just went on a whole rant about how Wisconsin's quarterback just looks tired. He looks so slow throwing the ball. Yeah.
And he beat this quarterback out. Also, I don't know if you have this game on. I have it on muted, and I'm like looking at my TV.
I just turned it on.
Florida State has dropped 3 interceptions.
Oh,
they already have one.
Didn't he lead the country or something in interceptions?
I don't even remember. But Florida State has dropped 3 interceptions.
You told me that he throws a lot of interceptions?
Yeah, he does.
That is
because he sucks. Okay, so Ohio State versus Oregon. Honestly, I want to give credit to Oregon, but their offense is not good. Like, they're one of those teams that, stuck, they chose loyalty over talent. Okay, they either chose loyalty over talent or their borderline 5-star quarterback sucks because they picked a transfer who's not good. And he's the starting quarterback, and he's not good. So, everyone's like, this dude's like a senior. He's not good. Play the freshman. So it's either their coaching staff doesn't want to win and they're playing the senior because he's a senior, or the freshman's also not good, which is not a good sign for them.
Right.
So, boom.
Yeah. That's not good. This isn't an interesting game to me.
The Minnesota-Ohio State game was more interesting than me, for me, especially because, we talked about it. Ohio State should be able to stop the run against everyone else, at least most teams, so they should stop the run against Oregon.
Because, I looked at some of that Oregon game. Oregon's offensive line, they're still that small. They're still small. Yeah. So, this is...
Ohio State should have a couple of sacks.
This is an easy game.
There's 2 things that sort of concern me, and one of them is Kayvon Thibodeau because, he's just the next – he's the next line of Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, Chase Young, Miles Garrett. He's that kind of talent. Every 3 or 4 years, there's, one of those guys. He's that guy. Before he got injured, he was unblockable against Fresno State. It was unfair. So he worries me. And then even though their quarterback isn't good – he's mobile, and a lot of teams, especially Ohio State, sometimes struggle with quarterbacks that can get out the pocket. You get a lot of pressure, and then he can kind of leak out and, gas you. That worries me a little bit. But, the Minnesota game was honestly a little bit more interesting to me, especially after watching them play Fresno State. So I do think this is a game where, again, it can be close at half, and then I think Ohio State puts – their foot on the gas, but this is also a game where if Justin Fields were here, I would probably pick this by 3 touchdowns. I think this is partially close because they have Kayvon Thibodeau and Ohio State's quarterback is in his second game.
I don't think it's going to be close.
I don't think
it's going to be close at all.
Okay. So let's move on to the next game.
I don't think Oregon's big enough. I just don't think so.
I agree 100%. Because at least, again, with Minnesota to compare, because that's the game, at least Minnesota has a Big Ten roster. So they have a big offensive line, they have a big defensive line, they have linebackers. They have big guys. That's not how they play on the West Coast.
Yeah.
So.
Nope.
That's fair. And also, well, yeah, whatever. So we don't have to stick on that one. So Michigan versus Washington. This game is interesting to me because I'm pretty sure I predicted a loss. But then Michigan went out and dominated Western Michigan, which you only give so much credit for. But with Michigan, everything matters because they typically don't dominate anyone. Like for the last couple of years under Jim Harbaugh, even their wins have looked painful. So they made this look easy, which is interesting. And Washington.
They're not putting up points like.
No, they're just not. You know, like, and Washington lost to an FCS team. So I picked Washington to win, but like literally my prediction now of this game is Michigan's going to blow them out. They're going to get ranked. There's going to be a whole bunch of hype behind them. And then they're going to lose to Michigan State and Ohio State. Like they're going to be ranked. They're going to lose.
And then somehow still stay ranked.
Yep. They're going to beat one of Wisconsin and Penn State. So there's going to be hella hype. Then they're going to lose to their two rivals. They're going to lose to Michigan State and they're going to lose to Ohio State. And people are going to be like, Jim Harbaugh's 9-3, but two of his losses are to his rivals. Do you fire him or not?
They can't fire him now. They just gave him an extension.
Yeah, but they can still fire him though because they extended him, but they basically lowered his buyout. His buyout is basically crumbs to them. Like most times when you extend a coach, you make the buyout bigger. They cut his salary in half and they shrunk his buyout. So they like it's manageable to fire him. The extension was fake, essentially.
I had to get rid of him then.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. Next game, the last kind of compelling game.
Iowa versus Iowa State, right?
Yep, Iowa versus Iowa State. The last kind of compelling game. I picked. Oh man, I just sound like an idiot every time I get on here. I'm like every game we talk about. I'm like, yeah, I picked this, but I don't believe that no more. I thought Iowa State was gonna win, and then Iowa did what it did to Indiana, and Iowa State did not look good. Granted, supposedly. People who follow Iowa State, they never look good in their first game. But it's just like, how am I supposed to have confidence that you're going to be Iowa when you played like this in week one?
Because like that, and I think Iowa's defense, again, they had a good amount of returns, right? So they know each other. Mm-hmm. They have that chemistry. Like that,
The one thing
Iowa's winning that game.
The one thing is I keep talking about Mo Ibrahim as a top three running back. Iowa State has the other top three running back. Well, two of the top three running backs. Like so that's the one thing that is going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how they stop the run against a really good running back. And Iowa State's quarterback should be better than Indiana's. But Iowa State's defense... Iowa State's defense is not as
good. I don't think Iowa State's defense is going to be that good.
No. So it's like they have a better running back. They have a top three running back in Breece Hall. Their quarterback is probably, not significantly, but probably better than Michael Penix Jr. So it's like if he doesn't, you know, test Riley Moss, like, do they have a chance? But I don't know. I just think, like, even if it's not two pick sixes, which doesn't
that whole secondary.
Yeah, it's just like they're going
to get interceptions.
Exactly. So we'll see. The thing that's going to be interest me the most about this game is I don't think Iowa has a good offense. So is this a game like Ohio State Northwestern where Iowa forces two or three turnovers but can't capitalize on them and still lose? I'm not predicting that because also it's a rivalry game. I don't think they are either. I'm just saying like I'm going to watch that and be interested in what they do on offense because their offense is not that good.
Yeah.
But sometimes it doesn't matter. It's a rivalry game and Iowa always wins this game. And sometimes that's all.
Yeah, really matters. I think I think it's going to be an Ohio State Minnesota game, but the other way. I think Iowa puts up the more points. I don't think it's going to be that many points. I don't think they're going to score 40.
Yeah.
But I do think their defense is going to put them in. I think they're going to capitalize off of short field advantage if they have something like that again. I think they're going to capitalize off of that this time. Because I don't think Iowa's defense is that good. So, Iowa State's defense.
Yeah.
No, I think I agree, which is crazy because I picked Iowa to start out 0-2. That's the, like, so now.
Yeah, you did.
Like, if you look at my schedule and everything else works out the same, they're going to end up at least, at minimum, they're going to end up 10-2, which is really good.
Because I had them starting off. I had them starting off 1-0. I had them winning that first game. Oh, look at me.
Wait, you had Iowa. You had Iowa beating. You had Iowa beating Penn State, Indiana. I mean,
I think so. I have to look. I gotta find our that spreadsheet.
Nope, you had them losing. You had them going 0-2 as well. You have Iowa at 6-6.
I do have them at 6-6
because they have a really tough schedule. I did have
them going 0-2. Because you convinced me that Iowa State will.
But I didn't convince you that they would lose to Nebraska. You should at least have them 8-4. I did not tell you that they were going to lose to Nebraska or Northwestern. That was on you.
Yeah, now that is on me. That's right.
You were very. The Iowa State one I may have convinced you of, but yeah.
Yeah, but now I know. Like, now I know that I am wrong. And Iowa is probably going to be a lot better than what I expect them to be.
Yeah, that's crazy. Okay, so any last thoughts on that game?
I think Iowa's gonna not dominate, but definitely win this game.
Yeah, like I said, it's not gonna happen. Someone stupid is going to lose, but they're like, the Big Ten really should go 12-0 in these week's games. Like, they should beat every team that they're facing.
It's going to be Nebraska, stupid ass, to lose.
Yeah, they're going to lose to Buffalo, let's be honest. Okay, so let's go ahead and wrap it up. As always, when you're on a road trip, what do? You have to stop, use the bathroom, stretch, look at the map, whatever. You have to take a pit stop. So in our weekly
snacks, you know?
Yeah. Get some snacks, get a drink, stretch the legs. You've been arguing in the car, so you need a break, whatever. so I think you went first last time. I don't know. I'll go first this week with my pit stop. My pit stop is Clemson got rocked. And I loved it because here's the thing. I try to pride myself in being a level-headed when I talk about sports. I don't like Clemson, but it doesn't mean I'm going to pick them to lose to just anybody. I love Ohio State, but it doesn't mean I'm going to say Ohio State's the best team in the country. There's Alabama. Like, I try to, like, actually just watch the game for what it actually is and give analysis. And a lot of people, it seems like, don't do that. And I've been trying to tell people that Clemson has not been that good. They're in a very, very weak conference.
And No. I agree with you on that one.
Like, they're in a very weak conference, and they had a transcendent quarterback. Now, whether Trevor Lawrence is going to be good in the NFL, who knows, but he was the perfect college quarterback. And they had Travis Etienne, who, again, is he going to be good in the NFL? Who knows? He got injured, but he's an amazing college running back.
Yeah.
Their offensive line hasn't been good for 2 years. This is going to be the third consecutive year, and proof of that is they got a 5-star offensive tackle named Jackson Carman out of Ohio that Ohio State wanted. He went there as a surefire first-round pick and got drafted in, like, the 5th round. Like, their offensive line has not been good. It just hasn't been there. They haven't had as many playmakers as they normally have. Their defense hasn't been as good, especially once they had that. You remember the year where they had, like, 3 defensive tackles taken in the 1st round? And, like, 2 of them were really, really good, and then 1 of them was, like, yeah, they haven't been super good on defense since then. This year, their defensive line is really good. Like, Brian Brisset, he's like an NFL starter. Like, they have a good defensive line, but, like, they have 2 seniors who are, like, we're still playing because we've been here for 5 years. But it's like, if you're the best player at the position, we suck. Like, they have James Skowski, who literally, yeah. he's like the best, like the only thing he's known for is targeting. He gets thrown out the game for targeting at least twice a year.
Oh. I think I knew who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, the guy who wears the little old school like linebacker neck pad.
Yeah, thing. Yeah.
And he does that so he can lead with his head and hit people with it. So this was, even though the game, I mean, it was a beautiful game to watch. I didn't think it was going to happen like that. But I was happy because everyone was like, there are so many national media. And I need to stop complaining about the national media because everyone knows that they don't watch football. But they're the people with the platform. And it's like, I feel like it bothers me a little bit more now that like I do these podcasts and stuff. Because like as a casual fan, it's whatever. But it's like, man. I like my job. I like what I do. But you could pay, if someone paid me $60,000 to $80,000 a year to record podcasts, you would get a lot better content out of me and my three friends around the corner than you get from these people who've been supposedly doing this for 50 years. Like, they're terrible. And so a bunch of these people were picking Clemson to win. They're picking Clemson to be national championship favorites, which is just a weak pick. Like, you didn't have no real reason why you
favorites.
No, there's literally people who said Clemson's winning the national championship. Yeah, like, so.
I don't see how. I don't even see how you could pick them to win the national championship last year, let alone this year. So, where are you getting this from? They haven't. I don't even think they should have been favorites at all for the past 3 years. And they didn't win it the past 3 years.
And here's the thing. They got credit off of one national championship. Sure, that's great. But they won it. Like, that team that won, that was Alabama. That lost, that was Alabama's worst team since. That was, what, 2015? Alabama has been better every single year since then. Like, and yeah, they won. That's fine. But, like, that was, and Ohio State, who should have been there, right? Ohio State didn't even make the playoffs because Urban Meyer couldn't pick a quarterback and stick with him. Clemson wasn't the best team in 2015 when they won. They just happened to win. I don't want to discredit them for it because Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback. Dabo is Dabo. They did win. Like, you know, you can't really revisit this history, whatever. But, like, they get one championship and, like, they're Alabama. They're Alabama 2.0. And it's like, they beat Alabama, yes, but Ohio State beat Alabama in 2014. That don't mean they're going to beat them every single year, as we saw last year. You can catch Alabama once. The likelihood of you catching them all the time is slim. Mm-hmm. And Clemson beat Ohio State in They beat Ohio State 2 years ago. But anyone who watched the game knows that it was one or two calls away. It was a fumble return for a touchdown that they ruled an incomplete pass, which is the stupidest thing ever. And it's a really bad targeting penalty. And Ohio State still had a chance to win and lost the game because a freshman wide receiver ran the wrong route. Clemson hasn't been that guy in years.
Yeah, Clemson has gotten lucky, really. They haven't been good. And I can't believe people think they're going to win. That's just blasphemy. Like, I don't understand. I don't get it.
Like, cool. You don't want to pick Ohio State. You don't want to pick Ohio State. That's fine. But you're telling me Clemson is going to win the national championship over Ohio State, Clemson? Georgia, Alabama, or Oklahoma? I'm not
going to give Oklahoma fan. See, because, again, I don't trust Oklahoma. I don't trust Oklahoma's defense. So that's why I'd give Clemson over Oklahoma, but then again, I give Georgia over both of those teams.
Yeah, any day of the week. So
it should be Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, and then whoever you want to pick between Oklahoma and Clemson. I guess, like,
exactly, and that's the thing, like. Everyone was like, Ohio State has a new quarterback. Like, it's just frustrating. Like. You know, being an Ohio State fan sometimes, because it's like when you're in the same bracket as these teams and everyone likes these teams better. And it's like, how? Because like they're in the same exact position. Like you haven't seen CJ Stroud play. But the one time you saw DJ Uiagalelei play, he lost to Notre Dame and almost lost to Boston College. Where's your confidence coming from?
Right. Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand. So. He didn't look good when he took the reins. And I guess Clemson is just supposed to be good because it's Clemson. I don't think Clemson is one of those teams.
I don't think they are either, but according to the national media, they are. So I don't know. Yeah. So that's my pit stop. My pit stop is I'm glad that Clemson lost. I feel bad for their quarterback because he got sacked like 7 times.
Dabo Sweeney supposed to quit. I'm going to keep saying that like every time we probably talk about Clemson. Dabo was supposed to quit.
He was. So that's all I have to say. Clemson lost as they should have. Clemson still might go 11-1 because the ACC sucks, but they're not a good team. And if they get to, and if they do get to the playoff somehow, I don't care who they play. Even if it's Oklahoma, they're losing that playoff game. But what's your pit stop?
Yeah, my pit stop is Alabama is who I thought they would be, and I'm not worried at all. I'm not concerned about Alabama. I'm not worried about Georgia. Roll Tide.
See, here's the thing that's annoying about this, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Georgia is Iowa. Like, if Georgia would just get a freaking offense, they would beat them because their defense is amazing and they're going to make Alabama sweat. Mm-hmm. But same thing I said about Iowa, Ohio State.
Not for
long. If Alabama gets the ball 15 times, they're going to score 5. 10 out of 15 is good numbers for your defense. But if they score 5 times and get 5 touchdowns and you can only muster 10 points, you're still going to lose. And it's so frustrating because I believed it. I was drinking the Kool-Aid that Georgia finally has a quarterback, which they haven't had. Georgia finally has a quarterback, so maybe they'll finally win. And it turns out, no. So.
Nope. It was nice though. You know, you had that faith, and I tried to tell you. I'm like, yeah, okay.
And
like,
it's
gonna be Alabama because Alabama can still put up 40 points.
But here's the thing: It should be that way. All they have to do is get an offense. All they have to do is get an offense. And the other team that's supposed to beat them, Texas A&M. The other team that's supposed to beat them, Texas A&M, they beat Kent State like 42-10 or something like that. But listen, you think if I, I don't know why I like playing this game, but if I tell you that, you know, you lost 42, you beat someone like 42-10, you think that was a good game, right? I'm here to tell you it wasn't.
Yeah.
You want to know why it's not? I doubt you listened to it.
Why?
I'm going to pull it up so I can tell you exactly. What was the final score exactly? It was 41-10. That sounds like a good game. Of course it does. You want to know why it wasn't a good game? I'm going to tell you. Their starting quarterback threw 3 interceptions. Their backup quarterback threw 1 pass, and it was an interception. And someone also lost a fumble. Kent State forced 5 turnovers. Anyone
couldn't muster up any points.
Yeah. And here, listen to this. They also had 2 sacks and 5 tackles for a loss.
Oh, man.
If it was anyone other than Kent State, they'd be Texas A&M.
Yeah, with these.
But here's the thing. Kent State is not supposed to have a good defense this year. Like, Kent State didn't win the MAC last year because they let Buffalo, who's going to beat Nebraska, they let Buffalo's running back run for, like, 300 yards, and Buffalo put up, like, 60 points. The game was, like, 60. It was, like, 63-52 or something like that was the final score. They literally couldn't stop this running back if their life depended on it. And they forced 5 turnovers against Texas A&M. They had They had 2 sacks and 5 tackles for a loss against A&M. And you expect me to believe that A&M is going to beat Alabama?
Not at all. No.
Guys, let it go. Alabama is taking the SEC again.
So I'm ready to say that I am looking forward to Ohio State versus Alabama in the national championship, and I'm hoping that if Ohio State loses, it is a closer game. I just hope it's not a blowout. If Ohio State's going to lose, I just hope that this year is like – I don't think it's going to be a blowout because Alabama's not as good as they were last year. Like that's the thing. Alabama's going to take a step back because they have to, because Alabama's offense last year was the greatest offense ever. Which means Ohio State should be a little closer, I would accept.
No, because they still. Because the thing is, like, I don't know if you watched the Alabama game, but they got
weapons. It was Miami. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
They still got weapons.
Oh, they do. They do, but Ohio State has weapons too. I'm not saying that Ohio State's going to win. I'm saying it's not going to be as dominant as it was last year. Also, not that we have to get into it, but part of the reason it was so dominant last year was also Ohio State lost some of their best players due to COVID right before the game and some other stuff like that. Their running back got injured on the first series. Like, there's some things that happened to why that game was so ugly. Alabama would definitely be favored to win. I'm just saying if it happens, I hope the game is closer. But regardless, Georgia, it may not be the year because Georgia refuses to get an offense. Nice. And Nick Saban, please retire. Like, give us a break.
Why? What for?
Because we need one.
Oh, no. What happened here?
I'm hoping it was a bad snap.
What was that?
I'm hoping it was a bad snap and not that they tried to run a fake. But okay, so we're at an hour and 45 minutes. The week one slate was amazing. Next week is not going to be as good, but it's college football, so we're going to watch it anyway. So as always, thank you for traveling I-70 with us this week. If you enjoy the episode, leave us a 5-star review and mention Dante and I. You can follow me on Twitter at JordanW330. I'm also on this podcast, Buck Off and the Instant Recap. And I decided to give writing a try. So I give my thoughts on the Big Ten every Sunday. So I give my thoughts on the Big Ten every Sunday. Dante, where can they find you at?
At Dante 10th. Dante M 10216. I got it.
All right,
I told you, man, all them games just took it out of me.
All right, follow us on the socials. Just know that we will respond to you. So we may not straight up call you stupid, but please, like, please don't mention us if you think that Mo Ibrahim has only played one game at Minnesota. Like, if that's the level of college football knowledge you have, please don't add us. But for anyone else, please add us. Tell us if we're right. Tell us if we're wrong.
Yeah.
Tell us your opinion. We love the conversation. It has been fun. The best part about college football is interacting with other people. And with that, thank you for listening.